ജയം വിശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം മിഥിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തപുരി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദികവര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിന്ദ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ പുഷ്പദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഗുഗലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി ആശാതിവേഷധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസ്മി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശം ജന്മാദ്യസ്വരാണ് ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദി കവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം നിർമത്സരാണ സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം ത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിദം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം വിപദഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ ൃത്യംവൈവായനോമിരഹകാധരമാജ്ജുഹാവാത്രേതിരവോഭിനേതുഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിംഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷതം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോര മുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിദാതൃദാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം കനികാഭികാഭികാഭി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിം ഹരി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ వందే నందం వ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమ భీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాలయే శమనిశం ప్రతిభావయామి కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారకాం వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మం వాసదాం పురదో మమాం మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం లంఘయతి గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సత్యస్య దే సుదృశమాత్మనమాత్మనూన్యం వక్తారమీశ విబుదేష్వపి నానుచక్షే సర్వే విమోహిత ధియా తవ మాయయేష బ్రహ్మాదయాస్తనుభృదో బహిరర్థభావాం తస్మాద్ భవందమనవద్యం అనందవారం సర్వజ్ఞమీశ్వరమగుండ విఖుండ్యదిష్టిం నిర్విణ్ణధి అహముహవ్రజినాభిదప్తో నారాయణం నరసఖం శరణం ప్రపద్యే. ఉద్ధవ వైల్ అడ్రస్సింగ్ కృష్ణ బిగాన్ విత్ దీస్ టు వర్డ్స్ సత్యస్య దే సుదృశమాత్మనమాత్మనూన్యం సంసారమి వక్తారమిష విపదేష్వపి నానుచక్షే. ఉద్ధవ సేస్ టు కృష్ణ దట్ ది ఓన్లీ పర్సనాలిటీ హూ క్యాన్ టెల్ మీ అబౌట్ ది ట్రూత్ ఈస్ యు, ఈస్ కృష్ణ. సో సర్వే విమోహిత ధియా తవ మాయ ఏదం, ఎవ్రీవన్ ఇంక్లూడింగ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ, రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ఎవ్రీవన్ ఈస్ కంప్లీట్లీ అండర్ కృష్ణస్ మాయ. సర్వే విమోహిత ధియా తవ మాయ ఏదం బ్రహ్మాదయస్తనుభృదో బహిరక్త భావాం. సో ఇంక్లూడింగ్ దమ్ దే హ్యావ్ దిస్ డిఫికల్టీ దట్ దే హ్యావ్ బహిరక్త భావ. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ దే ఆర్ సీయింగ్ థింగ్స్ everything on an external level, they cannot see the internal potency of Krishna. So therefore Uddhava pays his obeisances to Krishna in the beginning of the 7th chapter. So here what we have to realize this is that the knot of ignorance or the avidya what has come to us is a very deep thing. It does not go away very easily, and in this avidya we are making various statements. Avidya is means, avidya means actually the ignorance that is prevailing on us, not able to understand our pure identity or true nature, identification with the body in other words. So it is in that in respect that this Krishna has brought this example of the Tatraya Maharshi. The Tatraya Maharshi has spoken to King Yadu that in this process of realizing the self, I have accepted 24 spiritual masters to help me. We have seen last Sunday the role of a spiritual master, how different people come in one's life to protect this spiritual understanding of life. Somebody gives the instruction, somebody gives the mantra to chant, someone helps you to establish your understanding deeper. So in various ways, different personalities may come to help you in your spiritual life. So therefore, it is said here that the Prithivi Vayurakasham Apogni Chandraman Ravi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Patanga Madgul Graja Madhuha Harino Meena Pingala Kuraram Arbhaga Kumari Sharavad Sarpam Urna Apam Subheshakrat. So these 24 spiritual masters, the Tatraya Maharshi mentioned to King Yadu. It is during that process that we saw last Sunday the first among the 24, which is Prithvi, Mother Earth. Mother Earth, various things the Tatraya Maharshi has learned, which we have spoken about last Sunday. The Tatraya Maharshi learned from Mother Earth. What all things did he learn? First thing, Tidiksha. Tidiksha means to tolerate everything in this world, to tolerate everything in this world without any intention to retaliate, without any intention to take revenge. That is Tidiksha. Tidiksha means, you will see in the Bhagavatam, in different places, when Krishna talks about the, or Srinarayana Maharshi talks about the great devotees, this one quality mentioned about them. Tirichavakaruniga, Sukhruda Sarvadehinam, Ajada Shatravo Shanda, Sadhava Sadhubhushana, Sadhubhushana. One who is the best among the sadhus is the one who can tolerate everything. Whatever offenses or whatever situation one is put into, still one is able to accept it without any intention to revenge or retaliate towards that person. So Dattatreya Maharshi says, I have learned this one lesson. What's that? That Tidiksha. Tidiksha is the very peculiar nature of the Mother Earth. Bhudaira Kramyamanobi Dhiro Devavasha Anugai Tad Vidwana Chalen Margal Anushiksham Shideru Pradam. That Bhudaira Kramyamanobi, even if the other living entities attack you, Bhudaira Kramyamanobi. So sometimes that's what happens, isn't it? We get attacked by different people from different situations. But what does he think? Dhiro Deva Vashanugai. One who is spiritually advanced, or one who is sober, who had that proper spiritual realization, he will accept it as Deva Vashanugai. It is Krishna's arrangement. Deva Vashanugai also means that it is the arrangement of one's own karma is coming back to him in some way. So, in that way, he will be able to tolerate that. Tad vidvana chaleen margam anushiksham kshideer vradam. Vidwan, one who is learned, he will not deviate from his path. Na chaleen margam anushiksham kshideer vradam. I have learned that this particular quality from Mother Earth. We have seen in the Mother Earth how Mother Earth is tolerating everything. So many examples we have seen before. And this Mother Earth, also I have seen another thing, that people come and try to occupy this land and try to take possession of the land, the understanding that this is my land, my part of the land. In this way they fight each other over land, isn't it, in this world. But Mother Earth is saying that I am nobody's, I am Krishna's. Mother Earth is actually Vishnu's wife, Shri, and Shri Devi and Bhudevi. She is Krishna's property. Nobody's property it is. But we come here and we fight on the basis of the land. That is also... But Mother Earth is not... Mother Earth always knows very well whom she belongs to. Whom she belongs to. That is why when we fight here for the land, she is lying there and smiling at us, seeing our foolishness. And this has not started today. This attraction for the land is not from today. It has started from the days of, from the very beginning itself, from Swayambhu Manu's time. Hiranyaksha took Mother Earth and went away. And then he came back and said, it's mine. And then Varahamurti came and said, no, the Mother Earth is not yours. It's mine, he said. And they had to fight each other. So it is from Varaha's appearance onwards, this attraction for Mother Earth has been existing in this world. So it is not a new thing that today only we are fighting for the land. And for throughout the history, if you look back, you will see how many wars were fought on the basis of this land. How many wars? Ever since recorded history is there, you can see at least how many times we have fought wars for the possessing this land. And Mother Earth, there is at the end of Bhagavatam, you will see a song Mother Earth is singing. It's called a Bhumi Gita. In that song, Mother Earth will say, so many fools have walked over my chest, she says. So many fools. And that includes Parashuram even. She has listed there. It says even Parashuram, Ravana, Logaravana, Ravana, she says. That she, Ravana even, who has terrified the whole planet, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, anyone, they have all... try to control me. But at the end, they all left their things here and they went away from here. They couldn't do anything about it because they also, their own existence was not permanent. They also didn't know that they were acting under the influence of Maya. So this is the interesting thing to learn from Mother Earth. Mother Earth is tolerating, she is tolerating everybody, whether it is Hitler or someone else, it's all those who wanted to possess her. She has tolerated all of them. They have come and they will go. Napoleon and so many others, big personalities, they are all coming, fighting here for her, for possessing her, and they are unable to possess her. They will try for some time and then they will leave this world.
Budair Akramyamanobi Dhiro Deyovashanyugai. But a person who has got very subtle vision, who can think through these things, who has a deeper understanding, will not entangle in these things, because this is completely a waste of time. And that is a lesson we have to learn from Mother Earth. Mother Earth is teaching us this. Don't fight over me. That's what she is saying. We have no permanent existence here. Our existence is temporary. So, Shashwal Pararta Sarveha Parartheika Dasambhavaha Sadhushikshela Bhubhratto Nagashishya Paral Madam. Same way, from Mother Earth, I also learned another thing, that Shashwal Pararta Sarveha, all those trees and the plants on this earth, they are also doing exactly the mountains, particularly, they all want to serve others. Whatever life they have in this world, they will utilize it for the service of others. Paratha sarveha, parathaiganda sambhava, sadhushikshela bhupratham. So, nagashishya paratmadam. That I have learned this from the trees, that whatever you may do to the tree will offer us everything what they have got, including their body, and then they leave this world. This, a spiritually advanced person should always know that this should be his mood, or this should be his understanding in this world. He should not think that he is here only by his presence others may benefit, not for himself. For others' benefit, he will act in such a way what he has learned based on the lesson he has learned from the trees and the mountains. Then after that, that is basically about Mother Earth. And then we have seen the next one is Vayu. Vayu means air. So out of the five material elements, Earth is first one, and the next one is Vayu. Vayu, it was said like this, that Vayu has gone Pranavrtteva Sandusher Munir Naivendriya Priyaihi Jnanam Yatha Na Nashyeda Navagiryeda Vangmana. Then air is both inside as well as outside, isn't it? Inside the body as well as outside the body. We take it inside, we breathe, and then the air is used for circulation inside, pranavrti. In order this circulation to carry on inside, we need the food. The energy has to come from the food. So, a person who is a yogi, he says here, pranavrtteva sandusher munir naivendriya priyaihi, that he will only eat that much food what is necessary so that the pranan can carry on existing in this body. Not for indriya priyaihi, not for gratifying the senses or gratifying the tongue, in other words. Pranavrtteva sandusher munir naivendriya priyaihi jnanam yathana nasyeda navagiryeda vang manaham. That jnanam yathana nasyeda navagiryeda vang manaham. That this pranan has to circulate in such a way that the knowledge we have realized should not be lost. We shouldn't lose the knowledge. Then only accordingly he has to keep his mind and the body. That too much eating, as we said before, what happens along with that, the eating large quantities of food, it means that it becomes turns into sense gratification. Then that much food what is necessary only should be accepted by a yogi. That is what here the Tatraya Maharshi is saying. That we talked about the five kinds of air, pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan, and their five different functions in the body. So, along with that, now, does that mean that one should not eat? No, one has to eat. But the eating should be such a way that a person in spiritual life, he has to know, he has to come to a certain balance of his own eating habits. This is the important thing. That people will ask, how much should I eat? It's not that somebody tells you how much you should eat. You also have to know your own body, and you should also be conscious of this point, that I should accept what is necessary so that my bodily functions can continue. It should not turn into sense gratification. This is the most important thing. And the quantity and the variety of food, all these things one has to decide. As long as this principle is understood, that eating is done only for the sake of maintaining the body. Nothing more than that. That pranavrtteva sandusher. Pranavrtti should carry on. There is nothing more than that. this to think that making a big feast and eating happily, very sumptuously, is always the goal in spiritual life is a very preliminary understanding. But when one has understood the principle of spiritual life, one should refrain from eating lavish food or eating luxurious food, even if it is maybe prasadam, because this pranavritti only is a goal. Otherwise, ajitendriya, he will not be able to control the senses. Munir neve indriya priya. Indriya priyadi should not be the goal. Indriya priyadi should not be the goal. That it's not that sometimes we think, oh, Ekadashi, I am fasting one day. As soon as Dwadashi comes the next day, I'll have a big feast because I fasted yesterday. That is not the way to control the tongue. The way to control the tongue is all the time completely in a controlled state, not to desire to eat too much, more than what is necessary. And whatever, Deva Vashanugai, by Krishna's arrangement, whatever prasadam has come, to accept it without any complaint about it. That is also not a good thing, that only if I have these things I can eat. Or I very, very specific about the taste, very specific about the gratification. So these things are important, because otherwise the tongue won't come under control. If we constantly supply the food to the tongue, and the tongue has to be always satisfied, it's never going to happen. So therefore the yogi, the Tathagata Maharshi says that I've understood this from Vayu, that I should not desire too much. Whatever is given to me, the water, the air that is gone inside, in order to satisfy the air circulation inside, what is necessary, I will accept that food from this world. Then, if you look into the olden days, when the sannyasis went and received their food from, they will take a decision from so many houses, they will accept food today. So that is how strongly they control their tongue. That when they go for bhiksha means to beg for food, they will sometimes decide, today I will ask in 5 houses, or today I will ask in 7 houses. That's all. They will make a decision prior to going to collect the food. And even the first 5 houses, if they decided like that, if they didn't get the food, they will come back and starve. They won't increase their... today I didn't get anything, so let me go somewhere else. That thought even won't come to them. To such an extent, they try to control their mind. And sometimes when they go to certain houses, sometimes they will get some good food. But because they got some good food, or let me collect a lot more for the evening, that thought also won't come to them. You see how careful they were to keep this tongue under control. Then they will not think that let me collect a lot now that there is a big feast going on, so let me collect as much as I can for the evening. No, that thought also is not there. Similarly, if the prasadam is not so good, whatever bhiksha has been given to them by providence, they will accept it without any complaining about it. Because pranavritti has to go on. The body has to function. That's all it is needed. So whatever food that has come by Krishna's arrangement, that they will accept it. Nothing more than that. This is the situation. Sometimes even they will collect the food, and in order that they they do not want to feel this food is tastier, this food is not tasty, they will bring it and mix it with water and eat everything together. Such a strong austerities they used to perform in the sannyasa ashram. That was that is the type of sannyasam people have practiced in the past. They had to practice such severe sannyasam in order to bring the mind and the senses under control. Because a mind which is always thinking about sense gratification, that mind cannot turn towards the soul inside, the Atma Chaitanyam or the living force inside. So Krishna's instructions about sannyasam, if you read in the Bhagavadam, as well as in the seventh canto when Narada Maharshi spoke, you will see the very, very tight restrictions that's been put on the tongue for a sannyasi to practice. It is only for this reason. That somehow the things stay under control. So, here, pranavritteiva sandusheir munir naivendriya priyaihi jnanam yathanana sheda navagiri edavang manam. Because if you eat for the satisfaction of the tongue, then you will not be able to experience the bliss of the soul. This is the problem. If you, in order that we, our vision and our consciousness becomes subtle and subtle more, we have to put a stop to the sense enjoyment nature of the mind, the sense enjoying nature of the mind. That is why it is said like that. Brahmachari goes begging. In the past it was like that. Brahmacharis were, today we call different, they are all different now. Today's brahmachari is not the same brahmachari what you see in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. The brahmachari of those days, he had to go out begging for the food every day. And while begging also, he will ask that give food for the pranan. That's what they will say to the householder. Not for me, but give food to the pranan. As soon as you say that, the householder should know that the pranan is Krishna's part and parcel, is demanding food, it should be given food. So that was the concept of the traditional style of the brahmacharis, how they asked for food. Then while we are living in this body, we need food. There is no question about that. Food is necessary. But food is accepted only for maintaining the body, nothing more than that. That's why it says here, Munir Naivendriya Priyaihi Jnanam Yathanana Sheda Navagirieda Vang Manam. That whatever food comes, without trying to taste the food and see if it is okay or not, whether I like it or not, we shouldn't eat food in that way. Not for the gratification of the senses, in that way one should accept the food. That not giving importance to the senses, one should accept the food. That this is one thing I've learned from the Vayu. Vayu, because Vayu or air, it goes outside and it makes contact with various things. That sometimes it goes through a garden, flower garden. It collects the aroma of the flowers from the garden. Sometimes it goes through a through a dirty place and it brings the smell of the dirty place as well. So in this way, the air carries the air is not affected by that. Air brings the smell and air goes away, it loses the smell also. Good or bad, whatever it is. So Bhagavadam, it is saying here that I learned a lesson from this. Our Dattatreya Maharshi says here. What was that lesson? The lesson was like this, that in this world also, we may get into contact with many people. This is an important thing. We may get into contact with many people. The difficulty is, as soon as you contact with somebody, you start associating in such a way that their qualities start coming to you. So, Navagirya the Vang Muni, that Muni or realized person, he learned one thing, I should not feel the connection with anyone. Even if I have to connect with anybody, I have to be careful not to get attached to anybody. Jnanam yathadana sheda navagiri edavang manam. That is what it says here. In the next verse, if you look, you will see. Vishayeshwavishan yogi. Nana dharmeshu sarvada gunadosha vibhedatma na vishajyeda vayuvat. So first thing I have learned is that I should only eat what is necessary for maintaining this movement of prana inside. That is one. Secondly, vishayeshwavishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada gunadosha vibhedatma na vishajyeda vayuvat. That Vayu, although I am accepting association with so many different people in this world, I am also have to be careful not to be affected by them. That is the mood of a sannyasi also. Sannyasi should, the Dattatreya Maharshi is now talking about sannyasa ashram's life in the sannyasa ashram. That when sannyasi leaves, no more phoning back. Mobile and then sending email and then saying this and that. No, he is gone. Today here, tomorrow somewhere else. That is the position of a sannyasi. That just like a mirror, that you may, whoever is there, and you may reflect with, you may associate with somebody, but it will not affect you. That is the situation. That, similarly, a realized soul also, even if you sit with him for 10,000 years, he says, that he will not carry, suppose he sits with you, associate with anyone, even for 10,000 years, he will not carry any impressions inside. Inside him, he won't carry any impressions about it. He won't carry any impressions about it. Because that is how he has trained his mind. That's how he has trained his mind. That's how he has trained his mind. Why is it important to train the mind like this? Train the mind like this. Because generally, when we associate with the world, what happens? We observe so many things, we associate with people, and a lot of things they have spoken or done comes to our mind, isn't it? And it stays there. And we keep reflecting on this later. That should not happen for a yogi. One who wants to advance in spiritual life, this should not happen. Because the way it is, just an example is given like this. When you take a photograph with a camera, in the olden days, suppose your film is exposed to the sunlight, what will happen? The film will get wiped out, isn't it? That was the olden system, not like the modern digital cameras, but in the olden cameras, it was like that. So you don't expose it to the sunlight because all the film loses the picture or the film that is before it's developed. So similarly, the mind or the inside of a realized soul is like that. Although he is associating with this world a lot, although a lot of impressions are going inside, because the soul is shining very powerfully inside, the knowledge is shining so powerfully inside, none of these will affect him. Exactly like this example in the film and the camera. That just like because of the powerful sunlight, if it destroys, wipes out everything on the film, similarly, the soul inside wipes out everything because the soul is a realized state. It is not... The mind is not powerful anymore. Mind won't allow, in other words, mind won't grow inside. With all this, chittavritti will stop there. So because of that, in whichever situation he goes, it won't disturb him. For us, we know very well how it is, isn't it? When we are thrown into a very austere situation, immediately we react to it, isn't it? Immediately react, oh, this is not there, that's not there, how am I going to manage this, how am I going to manage that? Or another time, when everything is first class, we think how blissful it is. So this oscillation of the mind is the very problem. Why is it happening? Because inside, our spiritual realization is not there. One who has realized, or one who has, like the Tathraya Maharshi saying this example, that when one has realized this position in the spiritual platform, because all these things are spoken from a spiritual position, on a spiritual platform. That once you come to the spiritual platform, these things won't affect you anymore. If there is prasadam, you will accept it. If there is no prasadam, still it's fine. Why? Inside, the soul is illuminating. It is in the realized state of existence. That's why it is said here, in this verse, if you look, Vishaye shavishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada. Gunadosha vedalma na vishajeda vayuvad. Vayu is like that. That how is vayu? Vayu will go to various places, but it will pick up that one and it will leave it also straight away. This, when it comes through a flower garden, it brings the smell of the flowers, but it leave it straight away. It won't carry with it. The vayu will never carry it further. It will leave it straight. After a while, it will leave that. That thing I learned from Vayu, he says. I learned this quality from Vayu, a yogi or a muni or a sannyasi who wants to go back to Krishna, he has to develop this quality. That is Dattatreya Maharshi's advice to King Yadu. So I learned this quality from Vayu. What is that? Vishayeshu avishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvadam. Nana dharmeshu sarvada. Sometimes he may engage in so many activities. It is said like this, that sometimes a yogi was going through some places, they were worshipping Ganesh. So they joined them. He joined them and started worshipping Ganesh. After that, he moved away. Somewhere else, he saw somebody is worshipping Shiva. He joined them also and worshipped Lord Shiva with them. And somewhere else, he saw there was a Vishnu temple. Somebody was worshipping Vishnu. He joined them and started worshipping Vishnu. But none of them will affect him because he is situated on the spiritual platform. So nothing can disturb him. Nothing can disturb his mind. Otherwise, if you start thinking that this is the only thing that Vishayeshu avishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada guna dosha vibhedalma na vishajeda vayuvan, that he will not, the important thing is he will not think about the good and the bad of it. That is important thing. Guna dosha vibhedalma na vishajeda vayuvan. Vayu is like that, isn't it? Air doesn't think, oh, I am doing the right thing or not. It picks up and it leaves there, and it goes somewhere else, picks up the bad one and it leaves there also. That also it leaves. Similarly, Vishayan Vishayashwavishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada. So in the realized state, one will act in this way. Similarly, one may go with a materialist. He may have to go somewhere and associate with a materialist. He will stay with the materialist, but it will not allow to disturb his inside realization. He will not be affected by that. So this is the important thing. That to act in this world in this way is difficult because we get quickly affected by the environment outside, isn't it? And then we start thinking maybe we should move our place, we shouldn't associate. Okay, in the early stages all this is necessary. In the early days in spiritual life, discrimination is necessary. But in the realized state, we are now talking about Paramahamsa Dharma, ones who are realized. It is them we are talking about. So you may think that, oh, I am not able to do that. We shouldn't worry about it because it is for Paramahamsas. Paramahamsa stage, the characteristics of a yogi is what is discussed here. That's what it says. Vishayeshu avishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada guna dosha vibhedalma na vishajeda vayuvan. That guna dosha vibhedalma, he is not concerned about the gunam or dosham or the good or the bad that is going to come from that. That quality I learned from Vayu. He says here, guna doshamabe edalma na vishajeda vayuvan. That like our mind, if anything goes in, anything that has come to our mind, we can press the replay button and it will keep coming again, isn't it? And sometimes it's so difficult to get it off from the mind. Even when you go to sleep, you will think about it. Something, anything that has happened in life, you'll think about it, and in the sleep it comes again in the dream. And sometimes for days that experience will stay. This is not a good thing, actually, and sometimes you don't know how to get rid of it. But Bhagavatam is saying that I learned this lesson from Vayu, the second spiritual master among the Panchabhutams, that to be like Vayu is important if I want to advance spiritually. The Dattatreya Maharshi's realization from there. That that is why earlier when we said about the nature of these yogis, they can associate with anybody, but it will not create any impressions inside. Sometimes they will move with very hardcore materialists. Nothing will happen to them. Sometimes they'll go and play with children in the same way. They will play with the children because it doesn't affect them. They can play with the children also. So when they have come to that state of consciousness, wherever they go, they are unaffected by that. Why? Because na vishajeta vayuvad. Like they have learned this. This is called asparsha yogam. Not to get affected by anything. Asparsha yogam. This is an important thing. Not to get affected by anything. And in the Bhagavatam, if you see later, there is a mentioning about this, that how can this happen? This can only happen when the ignorance is gone from inside. up to this point you have to think that this can only work if that ignorance is gone completely from inside and the soul, and if you are situated on the pure spiritual platform, only then you can act in this way. Otherwise it is not possible. It is not possible. The ignorance has to go from inside, and the soul, which is illuminating, the living force inside, the soul has to show its pure form. Because we are covered in the bodily, we are now identifying with the body, and we have no realization of the self. In this platform, we require all this discrimination or all this separation, good, bad, all these things. But once you come to the spiritual platform, or when the soul is shining forth, Aham Brahmasmi realization has come already, no more concerned about the body, at that point all this understanding will go. All this then the rules and regulations change. There is no rules and regulations at that point. It will not bother anyone. Because in the history, if you look back, there are so many instances how this has come about. In the Bhagavatam also, one or two things. Once a great Acharya was traveling. He was already a realized soul. Always absorbed in the thoughts of the soul and fully fixed up in the spiritual platform. So when he was going, somebody else joined him along with him, to walk along with him, travel with him. So while traveling, he asked this person, he joined him saying that, "I would like to travel with you. I would like to be your disciple," he said. The Acharya said, "I don't need any disciples. I'm happy as I am," he said. "I want to continue my journey," but he won't leave him. He went along with him. So somewhere on the way, the Acharya started feeling thirsty. He was feeling thirsty. So they immediately walked into a well which was on the way, and they collected some water from there. He drank. So the disciple who joined him, he said that, I'm also feeling thirsty, let me have some water. So he also drank some water. They continued the journey, both of them together. So Acharya understood, seeing this disciple's mood, that basically what he wanted to see was to test himself, that to test the Acharya and his capacity. So little further down, when they travel, again another instance, when he felt thirsty, he told this person who was with him, "I am now feeling thirsty, I need to drink something." So not far away from the main street where they were walking, someone was melting the metal, the bronze metal, and they were manufacturing some pots. They are manufacturing some pots with bell metal. So when they melt this bronze and they mix with tin and copper, there is a certain proportion in which they mix it, and in a liquid state they can mix it easily, and then they pour it into the die to get the proper shape of the pot they want. So somewhere a group of people were melting this metal, molten metal, and they were trying to mix this. So it was through them, near to them, that these two personalities were passing through. So that time the Acharya said to them that, "I am very thirsty, I need something to drink." So those people who are doing this work, they didn't like this, somebody coming and disturbing them, asking for water. In an angry mood, they replied that, "If you are thirsty, take that coconut shell and take some liquid and drink it yourself," they said to the Acharya. So Acharya, without any hesitation, picked up a coconut shell, took out some of this molten metal and drank it. Nothing happened to him. But the personality who was with him also wanted to do the same thing, because he was also felt that, "If Acharya can do it, why can't I do it?" That was his logic. So the result was that he couldn't drink it. He said he couldn't drink it. So Acharya said to him, "Then you don't come with me. You stay away. You don't want to follow me in this way." That basically he was interested to test himself, like the what Acharya can do. So that in several instances you will see this, that people question these things, like Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Why can't we also do the same thing? They will ask this question, isn't it? Krishna's Rasa Krida. Rasa dance is similarly thing. It is the same thing. In the Bhagavatam, this question will come up. So, in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned like that, that yada rudrabjit abdijasham visham. Rudrabjijasham visham. That Rudra, Lord Shiva, when he was offered poison, he took it in the palm and drank it like this, like we drink Charanamritam. When great personalities do something, they know very well it won't affect them. It won't affect them. They already know about it. It has nothing to do. That they can do anything what they want, but nothing will touch them. This is their situation. Because they have reached in pure, spiritually realized state. They can act like that. Nothing will... Krishna's situation, Lord Shiva, when he drank the poison, when Krishna danced with the gopis, it is not like a mundane dance, what we do in this world. That is not the kind of... Krishna's position, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Bhagavan abhido ratri sharadol pulla malliga vicharandam yada chakre yogamaya upashridaha. That while before Krishna went into the rasa dance, Krishna's consciousness is spoken there. What consciousness Krishna had? Unaffected by the presence of all the gopis. Completely on a spiritual platform, Krishna was acting. Therefore, nothing disturbed Krishna. Similarly, when Lord Shiva drank the poison, because he is the spirit, that realization is so complete in him that it will not disturb him. So, when great souls do certain great things, what we should think about that what they do big thing, that is not the important thing. What is important is that they can do things without being affected by it. This is the most important thing. They can do so many big things in this world. Great yogis also, they do so many things. But important thing is, they are able to do it without being affected by it. Without being affected by it. This is an important quality. That if in this way one can travel in this world, then he is in a realized state. This is true with all realized souls. The two examples in the Bhagavatam where Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sukadeva Goswami, that how come Krishna has done a thing like this? Because a lot of people question this, isn't it? When we talk about Krishna, people tell us, oh, Krishna was not very moral, they say. Krishna was dancing with the gopis. And they cannot accept that. They said that Krishna has not been a very good example in this world. But if they only knew that in which level Krishna is operating, he is completely on a spiritual platform, Krishna's activities are. And all the great souls, they can act in that way because of their spiritual position. They can do what they need to do. What they do is not the important thing, but how they are doing it, that's the most important thing. How they are doing it, unaffected by anything. That is the most important thing. And it's not an easy thing. And this we learned from Vayu. The Tathagata Maharshi says, I learned this one quality from Vayu, from air. Then, Pativeshu Hadeheshu Pravishtatal Gunashrayaha Gunarna Yujade Yogi Gandharvayurival Madrika Pativeshu Hadeheshu Pravishtatal Gunashrayaha. Then another thing, what I have learned from air. What is that? That although the air has entered into all the different bodies, and although air is the cause of their maintenance, then the soul, in the same way, but air, although it is entered inside, it is not affecting it by anybody. The air is not affected by any of that. Similarly, when the soul has entered into the body, in our body, the soul has entered. Similarly, soul has entered into so many other bodies also, isn't it? The soul has entered into the body, and that's why we are doing all these things. Our mind, our intelligence, senses, false ego, so many things are working inside. From the yogi's point of view, pranam, annamayam, vijnanamayam, all different cells around the soul. But important thing to realize here is the soul is not affected by any of these things. It appears as though the soul is covered by all these things. But the soul has nothing to do with any of these things. The soul, whatever happens to the mind, intelligence, body, senses or whatever, it will not affect the soul. At the same time, the soul is keeping all these things functioning in the body. This is the important thing. On one side, the soul is activating the mind, intelligence, senses, everything in the body, including the body. It functions because of the presence of the soul. But whatever happens in the body, mind, intelligence, senses will have no impact on the soul. It's only a one-way traffic. This is another important thing. So, Krishna is saying here, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, Parthiveshuva deheshu pravishtasthal gunashrayaha gunairna yujyade yogi gandharvai gandharvayu yu atmadrak. Then, atmadrak. one who is realized, exactly like the way the air is not being affected by the good flavor or a filthy smell. None of them affects the air. Air is independent. It joins the air and it leaves the air. In a similarly, the soul comes inside the body, it plays its role, it stays there for a certain period of time in a particular body. While being present there, it does what it has to do and then it leaves. And then the soul leaves. But we are thinking all the time, oh, I. We keep pointing out to us our own misery, our own good fortune, all these things. But it's all with respect to the body, nothing to do with the soul. That's why it is like that. Because why it is said like that is, the soul has no identity in that sense that when it enters a male body, we call it a male. When it enters a female body, we call it as a female. That's all. But the soul is neither male nor female. The soul is neither male nor female. When it enters according to the particular body it has entered into, we call that in a particular way. Sometimes we say that, oh, somebody is very lovable, loving nature. Or somebody is very angry. Or somebody is very lusty. Or different emotions. We identify with a person, isn't it? Someone we say he is arrogant. Or somebody we say he is very humble. Or someone we say he is very astute. Or someone we say he is very intelligent. All these things has nothing to do with the soul. All these things has nothing to do with the soul. This lesson I learned from air. This is what Dattatreya Maharshi is saying. That I have to be always situated on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, the moment I slip, the moment I fall from that platform, I fall into material life. Just see the position of a realized soul. As a realized personality has to be always situated in this platform. I am soul. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. I am nothing but the soul. Not the mind. Not the intelligence. Not the senses. Not this body. This is the situation of the realized personality. A jnani's position is like that. He cannot afford to come to this platform. Whereas what do we say? I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence. Like this we keep on day after day repeating and they keep on repeating the other way. So the Shastri, the Bhagavatam is saying here that the soul, when we call a person anything, it's not referring to that the real self inside or the blissful soul inside. We are only identifying with is the modes of nature, what he has acquired, in other words. So in that aspect, we call him as the male, female, or the or different characteristics or qualities what he has acquired. That's why it said here, gunairna yujyade yogi gandharvai gandharvayu ivatmadrakha. Gunairna yujyade yogi. That he will not be connected with the Dehagunam. Dehagunam means the qualities of the material body. Material body. So what all have we learned from the Vayu now? Three things we have learned, isn't it? Dattatreya Maharshi spoke about three things. First thing, the air that is inside the body. Air that is inside the body. I have learned only for circulation of the air, certain amount of food is necessary, I will only accept that food, so that the air movement is smooth inside. It can do its function. The air can do its function. The five different kinds of air, panchaprana, they are called. That's one thing I have learned. I should only accept that much food. This is all in the state of consciousness of a realized personality. He is repeating this. He's saying only that much what is necessary for maintaining the movement of pranan, I will accept that food. Secondly, he is saying here, Vishayeshwavishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada guna dosha vibhedalma na vishancheta vayuvat. Exactly like the air in this world, although it's going to different places and it acquires the good or bad things from different places, similarly, I have also understood here, that I should always keep that in my mind, that in whichever situation I am put into, I should not be affected by that. Whatever I am doing is not important. Important thing is whether I am able to stay untouched by the influence of the surroundings, influence of the environment, what I am living in. So that is another lesson. That's what he said here. Visheshavishan yogi nana dharmeshu sarvada guna dosha vibhedalma na vishajeda vayuvat. Na vishajeda vayuvat. I will not be affected by that. And thirdly, it says here, parthiveshiha deheshu pravishta talguna shrayaha gunairna yujjade yogi gandharva ayuri valmadrakha. Parthiveshu sarveshu. Although the soul enters into all the bodies, but it is exactly like the air. Just like the air, goes everywhere. It goes into good place, it goes into bad place. It is not affected by any of those things. Similarly, the soul in the body also is like that. It is not affected by anything. This one important point, we have to always keep it in our head. The soul is not affected by any of these things. It is all in our mind we are thinking, oh, I have been done so badly by somebody. But that I is referring to my mind and my body, nothing else. Not to the soul. Nobody can do anything with the soul, because that soul who is present, he cannot be influenced by anything. The soul makes all these things to work. Mind, intelligence, senses, and the body. But neither the mind nor the intelligence senses can have any impact on the soul. Not the other way. It's only this way. So it is never affected by the this is the important lesson I have learned from air. The three important things. Gunairna yujjade yogi gandharai vayurival madrikam. Then now, here you'll notice there, gunairna yujjade yogi. The gunas are also discussed there. What is the three gunas spoken here? Guna means, we also have to remember, sattvam, rajas and tamas. Goodness, passion and ignorance. These three things. These three things, that a realized soul will always conscious of this thing. What is that? He is conscious that these things cannot affect me. These things cannot affect me. These are the activities of the modes of nature. Because because that if we understand that, if we are able to keep our mind in that consciousness in that way, then we will not stick to anything. Otherwise, we'll start sticking with something. So this sticking should be avoided. That is what the Tathraya Maharshi is saying here. The sticking should be avoided. For example, you can see in these three modes of nature, for example, sattvam, rajas and tamas, three modes of nature. Out of that, all three has its own impact on us, isn't it? Its own impact on us. In sattva gunam, you are in a position to sit and think about analyze life or reflect on things properly, or meditation or chanting the holy name. Some activities which is conducive for self-realization is possible in Satugunam. In Satugunam it is possible. In Rajogunam, the nature will be to go on doing things here, there, running everywhere and disturbing everyone. You disturb yourself and disturb others also. That is Rajogunam, the type of Rajogunam. Tamogunam means always sleep and always no enthusiasm to do anything, always in a miserable way, situated in a miserable level. So these three qualities are there in everyone, isn't it? So Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here that if I am in a spiritual platform, I can't afford these three modes to come and disturb me. Just see his realization, how deep it is. Ekadasha Skandam, this is one difficulty. Everything is on a very, very, very subtle level it is spoken. And it may all look foreign to us when we talk all these things, because this doesn't happen to us. That's why this difficulty. But still, it's important to understand, unless our subtle nature won't develop unless we understand these things. That's why we are repeating Ekadasham. We should hear for this reason. Not that we all become like this immediately. By hearing this, we will understand that in spiritual life, how important it is to be alert and conscious of all these things. If you are not conscious of it, we will be driven by the modes, and then we will find that we are nowhere at the end. Sattvagunam has its quality. Rajogunam has its quality. Tamogunam has its quality. So these three qualities are known, isn't it? Three qualities are known and their nature is also known to us. What are they? In Sattvagunam, we have enlightenment and activities conducive for spiritual life. In Rajogunam, passion, activities and work, pravrti. Pravrti and pride from that. I've done this, I've done that. All these kind of things. It's coming from Rajogunam. Everyone who claims that we have done this or we've done that, simply take it that Rajogunam is speaking. Not he is speaking. The Rajogunam is speaking. Similarly, when one is very, you meet someone, a friend or somebody on your street, you talk to him, how are you? He says, carrying on, going on like this, he says. What does it mean? He is also feeling disturbed or distressed in life or something. So Tamogunam has taken over, in other words. So he's under the influence of Tamogunam. So these three modes of nature. Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, I always been careful not to allow these three modes to touch me. This is very important. Not allow the three modes to touch me. Sometimes you have seen people, they'll go to bed at night. They'll say, I'm not getting sleep. I'm not getting... Whole day he was sleeping and he's not getting sleep at night. What can you do? So there are people like that. And okay, if you're not getting sleep, don't bother. Just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Is there anybody stopping that? No. They'll keep on moaning about this. I'm not getting sleep. I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't. This is all... The activities of the mind, it has nothing to do with the self, with the soul. Similarly, sometimes people say, I've not eaten any food, I'm starving, or I've eaten too much, or I can't sleep now, I've eaten too much. This way, these are called vigalpam. Vigalpam means, these are all the mind that is causing all this kind of different thoughts inside. The sleeping, their tension is not for not sleeping, but by the thought of not sleeping, they have developed tension inside. Do you follow the point? That they have developed this tension. If you don't sleep for a day or two, nothing is going to happen. You're not going to die because of that. But you will always say that I couldn't sleep last night. I had this, the weather was too hot or it was too cold. The windows were open. I heard so much noise outside. And then he will make so many concerns about this thing. This is coming from the modes of nature. It has nothing to do with the soul. So a yogi or a personality who is advancing on the spiritual path, he has to be careful not to allow these vigalpam. They are called vigalpam. These are all vigalpams. I have eaten, I have not eaten, I have not slept, I have slept too much. All these kind of things, it's all in relationship with the mind and the body. Nothing more. And the tension what you are experiencing at that time, That is what is actually causing the problem. That is why simply suffering, thinking that, oh, I didn't sleep, I'm not getting sleep, this kind of things. So this is called vigalpam. Vigalpam should not disturb a person. This is another important point. They are all activities related to the body, nothing to do with the soul. So spiritually realized soul will not allow himself to be affected by vigalpam. This is the most important point mentioned here. Then, in the Bhagavad Gita also, if you look, in the chapter 14, Krishna talks about this. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see these things. That in chapter 14, verse 22, verse 22, Krishna says there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakashancha Pravurtincha, Moham Evaja Pandava, Nadveshti Sampravurtani, Nanivurtani Kangshadi. ഉദാസീനവദാസീനോ ഗുണേർയോനവിചാല്യതേ ഗുണാവർത്തന്തതിമാം യോവദിഷ്ടതിമേങ്കദേ സമദുഃഖസുഖസ്വഷ്ടാ സമലോഷ്ടാശ്മകാഞ്ചന തുല്യപ്രിയാപ്രിയോധീര തുല്യനിന്ദാത്മസംസ്തുതി മാനാവമാനയോർത്തുല്യതുല്യോമിത്രാരിപാപക്ഷയോഃസർവാരംഭപരിത്യാഗി ഗുണാതീതസ ഉച്യതേ. This is chapter 14, verse 22 to 25. In four verses, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna talked about a person who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature. Beyond the three modes of material nature. Let me read the translation. The Blessed Lord said, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present, nor longs for them when they disappear, who is seated like one unconcerned, being situated beyond these material reactions of the modes of nature, who remains firm, knowing that the modes alone are active, who regards alike pleasure and pain, and looks on a cloth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is wise and holds praise and blame to be the same, who is unchanged in honor and dishonor, who treats friend and foe alike, who has abandoned all fruitive undertakings, such a man is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Such a man is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Now, so you can see the Tathagata Maharshi's words to Yadu, how he has developed this. Bhagavad Gita says all these things, isn't it? But the Tathagata Maharshi is not now going back to Bhagavad Gita again to learn the theory all the time. Dattatreya Maharshi is transferring everything to his own life by observing different things in this world. In that process, what he learned from 24 spiritual masters, how it helped to realize what is written in the Bhagavad Gita, that's what he is talking about. That's what he is talking about. So here you can see here, then, then as much as this feeling of tamogunam disturbs you, and tamogunam makes you, this vigalpam comes. Similarly, sattugunam also can bring vigalpam. Because once you start engage in spiritual activities, some sort of attachment develops there also. Say for example, I'll give you a nice example. When you engage in kirtanam, sometimes the music in the kirtan gets attraction. As soon as you start enjoying that rasaswadanam, rasam, the taste of that, immediately all you start experiencing, although the music is being experienced at that time, the rasam taste, experiencing of the taste of the hearing has started. With the result that your spiritual position is affected by that. Spiritual position is, all these things are very subtle points what the Dattatreya Maharshi is making here. We may think, oh, I could sit for hours in the kirtan. We may say like that, isn't it? But sometimes in the kirtan, if your mind is absorbed in Krishna, that means you are situated on a spiritual platform. The moment the mind moves away from Krishna to the music, the ragam, or the tune, or the different sense enjoyment, it comes, you are moved away from the spiritual life. You are gone into the sense enjoyment stage. So you can see how dangerous the senses are, how it can move you from one platform to another very easily. They are all vigalpam. They are all classified as vigalpam in the Shastram. So all these vigalpam, one has to be careful about under all circumstances. Dattatreya Maharshi is pointing this out to pointing out to this to Yadu. He says that you should not get sticking to one gunam, neither to goodness, passion or ignorance. Nor you should stick with this sticking nature is very strong in us. We develop this sticking. We stick to people. We stick to different institutions. We stick to different places. We stick to so many things in this world, isn't it? But a realized soul cannot afford to stick to anything. Why? Because he is situated on the spiritual platform. Situated on the spiritual platform. Actually, this sticking is that's what's keeping us all together here. So this sticking quality is very much in us. And that sticking quality has to go. That is, in the realized platform, these things will happen. So, here, that when we talk about, there is an example mentioned in there that the Bhagavadam talks about this. Who is the best personality? In the Bhagavadam, you will see, while referring to Prahlada, this statement is absolutely appropriate. When talking about Prahlada, this statement is very appropriate. Prahlada had this quality, won't stick to anything. All the time absorbed in Krishna. Nothing could move Prahlada to anything. Have you noticed the statement in the Bhagavadam about Prahlada? It says here that Srimad Bhagavadam, if you look at the 7th canto, chapter 4, verse 38, you'll find there Prahlada's nature. Asina Pajiran Asnan Shayana Prabhiban Bruvan Nanu Sandatamedanil Govinda Pariram Pidaha. Asina Pajiran Asnan Shayana Prabhiban Bruvan. While eating, sleeping, drinking, or walking, whatever sitting, in all these situations, Prahlada's mind was always Nanu Sandatamedani Govinda Pariram Pidaha. Except Krishna, he couldn't think about anything else. This is the situation of a yogi. This is the situation of a yogi. Asina Bhajadan Asnan Shayana Prabhiban Bruvan Nanu Sandattham Edani Govinda Pariram Bhidaham. So that's what it is saying there. He was also eating, he was also sleeping, but consciousness spiritually with Krishna. Spiritually with Krishna. Not sticking to anything. That was the beauty of that. Won't stick to anything. Even while eating. This is because of this only that when Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlada from the top of the mountain and when he was bitten by the snakes, very powerful snakes, when he was pierced by powerful spears and so many ways Hiranyakashipu tortured him, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlada in many ways. How come it did not affect him? Because of this, that Nanus Govinda Parirambhida, always in Krishna, the mind. Of course, Prahlada, before he came out from the womb of the mother, he has already come out with this understanding. That is why nothing could move Prahlada from there. Prahlada's consciousness was like that. And they tried to educate him by sending him to the modern education system also. They tried. Even that didn't work with him. That even didn't work with him. Shanda and Amarka were sent to train him to develop Artham and Kamam. Dharma, Artha Kamam, that was the goal of Shanda Amarka's school. But even that did not have any impact on Prahlada, and Prahlada was still talking about Krishna to Hiranyakashipu, to Kayadu, to all his friends, and even to Brahma and anyone else who came to see him. Such was that strong realization of Prahlada at that age. So you can see here that Govinda Parirambhida, that Prahlada is the finest example in the Bhagavadam given for this. That although they are eating, sleeping, but because he is situated spiritually in the realized state, nothing can happen. If you stick to anything in this world, it is bad. As much as if you stick to something and that is very good, then that if you stick to something and something goes out very well, what will happen? Pride will develop inside. False ego will build up. If you do stick to something bad and something goes wrong in the process, what will happen? A guilt will build up inside. Isn't it? So either way, whether it is good or bad, one should not stick to anything. This is the lesson. One should not stick to anything. And these are things in the only in the realized state you can appreciate. That is why Paramahamsas have no limitation. They can travel anywhere. Whereas, on the other hand, those who are always thinking about this is my friend, this is my enemy, I will accept him, I will reject him. Such a person, it will be very difficult unless this dirt goes away from inside. For realization, this attitude is not very conducive. This approach is not very conducive. As much as good and bad in this world everything is good and bad based on the modes of nature. We have made this classification. Then, in all these situations, if what the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here is, in all these kind of situations, if you reflect yourself and thinking, who am I? If you ask that question, then it will not allow you to disturb your spiritual position, spiritual realization, in other words. I am not any of these things, neither this good thing nor the bad thing. I am spirit soul. And spirit soul by nature has its own blissful nature. It's being affected by the different modes of nature or the different personalities whom we associate with this, that and the other. Then, but in order to move like air, that as soon as we start doing things from there, the doership will come. I have done this, I have done that. It's very difficult. Get rid of this from the mind. Doership will come. And that is something which is very difficult to take away from us, from our side. That, but with the doership, that nisangatvam will not come. Nisangatvam means that being no sangam. No sangam means no connection with anything. Detachment. Completely disconnected from other things. Nisangatvam won't come. So therefore, he says here that the I learned this from Vayu. Vayu doesn't have any false ego. Vayu will come, Vayu will go. Air will come and go. Similarly, I learn from air, I have to act like that in this world, not to get affected by good things or bad things. Good things or bad things. So many things, just by observing air, the Tathagata Maharshi has learned. The Tathagata Maharshi has learned. Parthiveshu Vadeheshu Pravishtastal Gunashraya Gunairnayujyade Yogi Gandai Ayurival Madrakam. Now, after this, we have another very important spiritual master. As I again repeatedly, I'll keep saying this again and again. Many of these things, what we are learning from these material elements, is for one who is very serious about spiritual life. Who is very serious about spiritual life. By reflecting on all these lessons, we will understand that in a realized state, what our consciousness should be. What our consciousness should be. If we don't hear from the realized soul, how we will understand? We will never understand, isn't it? That is why Krishna is talking about this, the Tathagata Maharshi to Uddhava. Uddhava, it is all very nice that you are my devotee and you have been with me for so many years. But the very fact that self-realization, what Krishna wanted Uddhava to have, because through Uddhava, Krishna wanted us to teach us this. That's basically what it is. That this is an opportunity for Krishna to tell the world, look, realized state is like this. Keeping Uddhava as an example, Uddhava was already a realized soul. Because of his devotion, Krishna has already recognized that already. Nadadame priyadama almayo nirna shankara naja sangarshanam nashri naivalma jayadha bhavan. Krishna said this to Uddhava, you are dearer to me than nadadame priyadama almayo nirna shankara. Brahma is not dear to me, Lord Shiva is not dear to me, naja sangarshanam nashri, Balram is not dear to me, nor Mahalakshmi is dear to me, naivalma jayadha bhavan, including myself, I am not so dear to me as much as you are. So this is how Krishna is recognizing Uddhava. And that Uddhava doesn't require any of these teachings. But because through Uddhava, Krishna has made Uddhava to ask these questions in such a way that he was able to mention to Uddhava that you require this understanding in the process of spiritual life. In the process of spiritual life. So you can see here that through this example, Krishna has told Uddhava that from Vayu, Dattatreya Maharshi has learned these things. From Earth, Dattatreya Maharshi has learned these things. So imagine Dattatreya Maharshi's consciousness in this now. Just see, look through that consciousness of Dattatreya Maharshi. How least affected by all the things, what's going on in this world. Now, after this, is one of the most important spiritual master, the sky. We are all seeing the sky every day. We only look at the sky if the rain is going to come, isn't it? That is our realization. But if you see what Dattatreya has learned from the sky, you will be amazed that this is what his spiritual life is all about. Spiritual life is not something that we cultivate spiritual life in different ways. The sadhana bhakti, the process is there to chant the holy name, to remember Krishna, to study Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things. But if all these things do not impact on us, like the way it has impacted Dattatreya Maharshi, if it simply remains as an unknown entity, then our studying Bhagavatam has not helped, isn't it? So what we have to remember is this, that Dattatreya Maharshi is seeing very simple things in this world. He is seeing from the Bhumi, from Mother Earth, he was able to learn so many things. From air, he learned many things. And let's see what he is learning from the sky now. Andarahidascham sthirajangameshu brahmalma bhavena samanvayena vyapta avyavachedam asangamalmano munirnabhastvam vitadasya bhavayet. In four lines, he packed everything, what he has to say. Andarbahischa sthirajangameshu brahmalma bhavena samanvayena vyapta avyavachedam asangamalmano munirnabhastvam vidadasya bhavayed. Muni means one who is very thoughtful and one who is very realized. What did he say? He says that that if you look at the material elements, we have got earth, water, air, fire, and ether. Five material elements. These five material elements has its own subtleties. That also we have to know. What is the subtlety? Subtlety is this. That is why if you see in the process of creation, when panchikaranam happened, when material elements mix together, there is a priority, a gradation in which these different material elements have come out. For example, the first one was sky. From creation started from the sky. And when it came to the most gross form, it became the earth. Isn't it? It became the earth. As you know, if we discussed this in the third canto when we were talked about creation, that from sky came the air, fire, water, and then earth. The five tanmatras we spoke about, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Isn't it? Gandham is related to earth. That is the smell. Rasam is related to water. The rasam or this tanmatra in its expanded form is water. The smell in its expanded form, in the gross form, is earth. So, rasam and gandham. Asparsham. The expanded form of that touch, the sense of touch, is air. And shabda sparsha rupam. The expanded form of rupam form is fire. The expanded form of sound is the sky. Is the sky, isn't it? Is the sky. So if you look at it this way, the earth has got one quality that it will stay in one place, isn't it? Say for example, if you take a brick, the brick is made of earth. The brick will stay there. it doesn't expand, isn't it? It doesn't move anywhere. If you go to the next one, which is the water. Water has one nature, it can flow into a lower level. If you keep on a higher level, if you allow that, it will flow into the lower level. So in other words, it has become a little bit more subtle. When it is the most gross form, it stays in one place. When it gets a bit more subtle, it is in a position to move a little bit more. So, then if you go further from the water, take for example a fire. Fire can go and expand more places, isn't it? If you allow the fire to expand, it will take advantage of the air and it will spread everywhere. So, subtle than the earth is water. Subtle than the water is the fire. Subtle than the water is the fire. And the same, similarly, if you allow subtle than this fire, which is spread everywhere, much more capable of spreading is the fire, is the air. So air is more subtle than the fire. So first thing, the earth. The earth is the most gross form. Subtle than the earth is the water. Subtle than the water is the fire. And subtle than the fire is the air. And subtle than the air is the sky. Is the sky. So in other words, all these elements have originally come from the sky. Originally come from the sky. Sky is the origin of all these things. It is the sky in its most subtle form. It existed in the form of sky. And this sky becoming grosser and grosser and grosser. Different material elements developed at different stages. Different material elements developed at different stages. So here, he says here that all these things exist within what? Within the sky, isn't it? Even if you go away at a certain level, the air also is finished, and then it's only sky. And sky has no limitations, isn't it? So you can say like this, that all these things, earth, water, air, fire, everything, they all stay within the sky. They all within the sky. From sky they have come, and when they lose their, they become more unsubtle, they go back into the sky. They all can develop, form, go back into the sky. So what it says here, that Brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena vyaptva vyavachedam asangam almano. Looking at this sky, I have understood one very important thing, he says. What is that? The soul inside is also like the sky. Soul inside is also like the sky. The soul has come, entered into different bodies. Entered into different bodies. So when you look at the bodies, you think this is one soul, there is another soul, there is another soul. But if you go back into it, the soul which has entered into all these different bodies has come from Krishna. Has come from Krishna. It's only one soul that has entered into different bodies. It has become Jivatma like that. The living entity has come up like this. I learned this important thing from the sky, he says. Why? It says here, Vyapto vivachedam asangam almanom. That asangam almanom. Vyavachedam. Vyavachedam means you cannot break it. You cannot break it. But it appears to us, just like the sky has expanded itself into different material elements, formed in these different forms of material elements, and we are observing all these things in this world, thinking that they are all separate, separate, separate. A person who is in knowledge knows that the sky is the origin from where the material elements have developed gradually. Material elements have developed gradually. And the same sky is dressed up in different ways and standing like this in front of us. Although it's a different thing, difficult thing for many people to completely accept it, because from our birth, when we have seen, we have always seen the water, we have always seen the bricks, we have always seen the fire, we have always seen the air. Although we don't see the air, we feel the air, isn't it? But from the Shastra point of view, they all do not have a separate existence. They have at some time from the sky, when the creation process of creation, they have all come and developed in these different forms, and they can also go back to the same thing again. Just like if you take at this microphone, you can grind it into pieces, makes it into very, very fine powder, and you can throw it in the air. It gets absorbed in the air and it gets lost its identity, isn't it? It gets lost its identity. So today we call this as microphone, but the same microphone can lose its identity very easily. In the same way, everything that is related with the earth is the same thing. We build skyscraper buildings, and sometimes have you seen in the television, okay, government decided 40-story flat in Glasgow must go. It takes 2 minutes. Boom, gone. 40 flat comes down in 1 second. Where is the 40-story flat? It's finished, isn't it? So you can, at that time, we must think that these forms and shapes, what we have given to them, is not its true nature. This is some form it has taken for some time during its presence in this world, but that's not its true form. The form of a brick or the form of a 40-story building is not its true form. That was only a temporary position that has taken, and it goes back into its true form as the earth. It joins the earth. Similarly, we can also see the water. Today you can make canals and rivers can be diverted, flooding can be stopped in different ways. So all the time water is taking the route which you provide. In other words, water is taking the route which you provide. So then what does that mean? It means the form of water is also not permanent. It can change its form all the time, isn't it? It's always changing. The water is changing its form. So the form is not important there. The form is not important there because it's a material element. So neither the form of the earth nor the form of the water, you can take it. Same thing with the fire also. Fire, what does fire do? Fire see what's available and it takes that shape. Suppose there is a firewood, a log of wood. The log of wood is burning, the fire will take that form. Is it not? The fire will take the form of a log of wood. If this whole building is burning, what will happen? The fire will take the form of the building. Isn't it? Similarly, if a bus has caught fire, the fire will take the form of the bus. According to the form, wherever it has got access, it will catch that form and it will stay in that form. So the form, what it takes, is depending on the object where it has got the ability to occupy, whether it is water, whether it is fire or earth. Similarly with the air also does the same thing. If you allow the air to come in, it will come. If you close the windows and make everything airtight, then the air won't be able to move inside freely. So you can see all these different things are happening within the space, isn't it? It's all happening within the space, but the space remains stable, unaffected by all these things. Space is not affected by any of these things, is it? Neither what is going on inside the space is such a vast thing. So many planets are floating in this space. So much activities are going on here. And we identify each one of them under different categories. But all these things has no impact on the space. What to talk about the earthly planet? So many other millions of trillions of planets are floating in the space. But space is not affected by anything. Just like an example is given like this. You see in the when you watch a movie in a cinema screen, you are seeing the villain, the hero, the heroine, the clown, so many people in the screen. They're all acting there, but the screen is not affected by anything, isn't it? The screen remains as it is. As soon as you switch the projector off, the screen is back as it is. The screen is not affected. Similarly, here in this verse, the Tathraya Maharshi is saying to Yadu, I have learned this one important thing from the sky. What is that? Just as the sky has come down and taken all these different forms and shapes and everything in this world, the soul which has entered into all the different bodies takes the shape of that particular body in the sense that we think out of this is Maya. Actually, this is another side of Maya to make us feel that form of a person is important. We take it like that, isn't it? Although it's only a temporary material body, as much as the brick, as much as the fire or water, the existence of this body is also temporary. But because of our lack of vision or lack of spiritual vision, we identify with the body of a person. And we start thinking, oh, he is that person. Actually, he is not. The soul who has entered into different bodies, male body, female body, bird's body, cat's body, dog's body, any body, the soul is the same. That soul is the same. But it has entered into different bodies and taken different shapes. This one lesson I have learned from the sky. This one lesson I have learned from the sky. The Tatraya Maharshi is saying this to Yadu. This is a very important point because if one wants to get free oneself from this bodily identity, if one wants to get, which we all want to, but we don't know how to, if we want to get free ourselves from this bodily identity, this particular process has to be realized. How does it realize? Constantly we have to understand that the soul inside has given this body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything. I am none of that. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not this intelligence. I am not these senses. None of this I am. This has to become a music inside all the time. I am not this. I am not this. I am not this. I am not this. Because it is from that understanding... That's what says here. Andarhidascha stirajangameshum brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena vyaptavyavachedama sangamatmanu munir nabhastvam vitatasya bhavaye. Munir nabhastvam vitatasya bhavaye. Nabhastvam, just like a sky. Like in the sky, if you look, what do we see? We see the clouds coming, isn't it? A lot of clouds come. They cover the sun. They cover the sun. So here, while standing in the earth, we say, oh, the clouds have covered the sun. Actually, clouds have not covered the sun. Our vision is limited. Nothing can cover the sun, isn't it? So as few small clouds cannot cover the sun. What actually has happened is, our vision is covered. Vision is not able to penetrate through that particular block of clouds for that particular time. And these clouds will come and they are also moving within the sky. The planets are also moving within the sky. So the sky, which is able to accommodate all these things, like the planets, different living entities, and different material elements, they are all interacting each other within this sky. And this sky is unaffected by any of these things. Similarly, the soul also, although it comes to this into different living entities, in different bodies, it takes and it executes different functions. Always I have understood that behind all these things, the soul is independent. This is the important point. That's what he says here. Vyapta vivachedam asangam almano. Asangam. Asangam means I have no connection with any of these things. Alma, soul has nothing to do with any of these things. Any of these things. So, one who is seriously thinking about spiritual life, one who wants to separate this body from the influence, from one who wants to free oneself from the body, this is the direction to go. This is the direction to go. Not by repeating, I'm not this body, it will not happen. That you can repeat for some time, but after a while you will think, as soon as you get hurt, you will think, I'm this body. So, that will happen the other way in a minute. But if this thought process, what is discussed here, that andarhidascha stirajangameshu brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena, that occasionally one should develop this thought that I am not this body, that body is not me, I am not this body, and also that the non-existence of the body, non-existence of the body, if one can experience, he has escaped. He has escaped from this. Initially, it says here that antarhidascha sthira jangameshu brahmaatma bhavena brahmaatma bhavena sthira jangamena brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena. So, if one can connect his own soul with Brahman or the Supreme Spirit, samanvayam. Samanvayam means if he can identify with that, instead of identifying with the matter, this requires constant reflection all the time. Because otherwise what will happen is, when we experience different things in this life, for example, the Shadurmi, we talked about this before, hunger, thirst, old age, disease, happiness, distress. These are called the Shadurmi. Shadurmi means the six waves, Urmi means waves, the six Urmi, six waves, which constantly come and hit us all the time, isn't it? While this is happening, if even for a second or a minute, if one can develop this understanding that what is actually happening is not for me, but for the body, and the mind. Body and the mind is interacting, and they are bringing the impact of these things on me. So by separating ourselves from the body, even for a second, this will help for attaining liberation in this life. Most of us think that liberation is kept somewhere else, packed, ready to pick up while leaving this world. It is not like that. Liberation we have to achieve here, right now in this body. Before death, it has to happen. Not that while leaving the planet, somebody will give you a, what do they call, a boarding pass for going to somewhere else. That's not how liberation is. Krishna will talk about this in Ekadasha Skandam later. Because otherwise, if it is like that, that I'll do so many things what I like, and just like these days we are often doing this, such a foolish understanding of liberation. We say somebody dies, we say he has gone back home, back to Godhead, and we pick up people whom we decide who should go back home, back to Godhead, and then we decide he should be given a proper a funeral, because he has gone back home, back to, he is a pure devotee. So this is all our foolish mind is teaching us all these things. It's not very intelligent understanding of spiritual life. Spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life is like this. If you have to get liberated, you are liberated, get liberated here before you leave this body. Already the qualities of liberated state will manifest in this very life. You don't have to wait till the last moment when you leave the body. So it is an important point that from this sky, these experiences of liberation while even living here, how that is possible. That is what the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying to King Yadu. That while being here itself, some of these things will help a person to free oneself from the connections with this world. That's the purpose behind it. And one who can constantly reflecting on this, meditating on this, will find some strength from that in his spiritual life. There is no doubt about that. Why do people read Ekadasham? Because by reading these verses, by constantly reflecting on them, it will strengthen our mind how to deal with this world. Otherwise, we don't know. We are trying to plug every situation here, thinking that we have such a permanent existence here. The Dattatreya Maharshi is teaching us, we don't have to, once you have made up your mind to get liberated, your attitude towards this world also has to change. It cannot be the same. It has to be different. Because you have prepared to go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So if you want to go back to Krishna, the Dattatreya Maharshi's mood is the right mood, not anything else. Our mood at the moment is, we live here comfortably till death, and while leaving, collect the boarding pass and go to the spiritual world. I don't know how this has come up. This is very common in many people's mind, that liberation is something kept till the time of death. No, liberation is right here while living in this world. That's why they call it as Jivan Mukta state. Even while liberated state, they will live in this material body here. There were great personalities like that. They were liberated while being here. But then they had to wait till the body has to drop. They waited for the body to drop. That is the Jivan Mukta Avastha, they call it. So, Andarhidas Chastira Jangamena Brahmaatma Bhavena Samanvayena Vyapta Vyavachedama Sangama Alpano Munirnabhastvam Vitadasya Bhavayen. Munirnabhastvam Vitadasya Bhavayen. Only those who are liberated in that way, they have gone beyond the body. If you had the good fortune of meeting somebody like that, then you will be able to understand what he is talking about. Otherwise, you won't know these things. Once in the particular sage's case, this happened. This particular sage has gone beyond the body. He is already on a spiritual platform. So, while being in the spiritual platform, the body will show its true colors. Shariram has its dharmam. Sharira dharmam, they call it. What is Sharira dharmam? Birth, death, old age and disease. It has to be there. So just because one has gone beyond the body doesn't mean that his body won't get any illness. Body will still get sick. So in this particular instance, what happened was, he had a lot of devotees after him. They were constantly looking after him, trying to help him. But he didn't want any help from anybody. Why? Consciousness-wise, he has gone beyond the body. He is already in the liberated state. So when the things became very critical, very acute, the person, his body got cancer. Body got cancer. Oh, the devotees fell into great anxiety. Oh, our Guru Maharaj had got cancer. Guru Maharaj was not worried. The devotees were worried. Why? Devotees were on the bodily platform. They were thinking that body is the spiritual master. Guru was thinking, I have nothing to do with this body. Why should I lament on this body? So they kept pestering him. Oh, you should accept the treatment from this doctor. They'll bring doctor from this city, that city, this specialist, that specialist, and special equipments from abroad, this foreigners, this foreign doctors. So many things. Because disciples thinking they are doing a service to the guru. This is the disciples' mood. They are thinking they are doing a great service to the guru. Guru is saying, I have nothing to do with any of these things. You can do that's all to do with my body. What do I have to worry about it? They won't understand. So they kept on pestering him and told then the disciples told the Guru one day, Guru Maharaj, please for our sake, the Guru, disciples are very humble at that time. The disciples are saying, please for our sake, accept this treatment. He was refusing treatment. He's saying that I don't want all this treatment. This body is meant for this. Let it take its own toll. Why I should worry about it? Disciples insisted that, well, this is such a disease. You know, we can't see you suffering like this. So many things they talked about it. At that time, he told them, look, you are telling me something which I don't have, he says. He says, if you want me to accept this disease, I've got this cancer. Close the door, please. If you want me to accept that I've got cancer, if you want me to accept that I've got cancer, then first I have to think I've got this body, isn't it? Then I have to build up this consciousness in me that I've got this body, I've got this cancer in me, which I don't have it at the moment. So this is where the problem comes, a tussle between the unrealized soul and the realized soul. Realized soul is not feeling the need for maintaining the body anymore. He has finished, because that is the Jivan Mukta, liberated state. The unrealized one is thinking that, oh, he is also like us, suffering from this disease. He has to be treated. We should get the best treatment, whatever we have to arrange. Somehow, if we can extend his life for more time. So what has the disciples learned? What did the disciples learn from this? So this kind of things happens in this world. The Tathagata Maharshi is saying to Yadu, Andarbahischastirajangameshu Brahmaatma Bhavena Samanvayena. Once you have understood Brahmaatma Bhavam, the position of the soul, what you are, if that understanding is properly realized, then Samanvayena and its connection with the super soul, if it is properly realized, then all these things does not matter anymore. Vyapta Vyavachedam asangam atmano. The important thing to realize is that it is vyaptam. Soul is present everywhere throughout the creation it exists. It cannot be stopped going anywhere, isn't it? Like the sky. Sky is present everywhere, soul is present everywhere. You cannot curb the soul from going somewhere. Sarvagada, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's also said like this. So soul's nature is like that. It can go anywhere and nobody can limit. It has no control. It's unlimited. It can go anywhere. And whatever form it wants to take, it can take. That's the nature of the soul. Vyaptam. Then what is the next one? Vyaptam avyavachedam. You cannot also, it says in the avyavachedam asangama almanam. Then, although it is present in different bodies, and we see they are present in the different bodies, it is avyavachedam. It cannot be cut into pieces. That's the nature of the soul. It cannot be cut into pieces. So these are all the qualities of the soul. Vyaptam, that means it can spread everywhere like the sky. And exactly like the sky, you can't cut it, isn't it? You can't cut the sky, can you? The space, can you cut the space? Okay, you can make a pot and say, this is the space inside the pot, this is the space outside the pot. As soon as you break the pot, the space is one, isn't it? So, vyaptam avyavachedam. And what is the third thing? Asangam. Asangam means it will not mix with anything. It is free from, it will never mix with anything, like the soul. Soul will come and occupy in different bodies, in different living entities, in all different kinds of species. But it will not mix with that particular body, particular senses, particular intelligence. It has nothing to do with any of those things. From this one important lesson I learned from the sky. This is a very important lesson to learn from the sky. So here, he says here that the Andarhidascha sthira jangameshu brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena vyapta avyavachedam asangamatmano munir nabhasvam vitatasya bhavayet. Then vitatasya means it is present everywhere. Sarvavyapi, it is referred to. That if one considers oneself as the sky, this is this process. If one considers oneself as the sky, these meditations are helpful in getting out of the bodily concept of life. Thinking oneself to be the soul and attribute these qualities of the soul onto himself, then he will realize it, that the identification with the mind, intelligence and senses will drop considerably. And if that is practiced in life, it can help for the liberated state. That is what he is saying here. That if one somehow or the other develops this understanding, then other things like hate, anger, lust, greed and things like that, one can see that as though it is nothing to do with the soul. It is only due to lack of self-realization we suffer in this world, isn't it? When you study these things, that is what it is pointing at. That because we don't have the realization of the soul or spiritual realization or self-realization, because of that, we start identifying with the wrong objects. And we consider that as us. And then we suffer due to that. But moment we have moved ourselves from the false identity into the spiritual platform, all these miseries also go away from us. So, andarhidascha sthira jangameshu brahmaatma bhavena samanvayena vyapta avyavachedam asangamatmano munirna bhastvam vitadasya bhavayen. So that is all about the sky. So we have seen so far, we have seen from the earth, which is prithvi. Then we talked about vayu, the air, and Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham. Agasham is the sky. Now, three of the five material elements, how much Dattatreya Maharshi has learned, you can see how many important things he learned from these things. And then the fourth one, after this is what Dattatreya Maharshi is talking about, is what he has learned from water, jalam. Aapam. Aapam means water. And that is the next one. Tejobannamayer bhaver meghadher vayune eridai naspriśyade namastadval kalasrishteir guna puman swachya prakritasnigdho madhuryastirthabhur nranam muni punatya vam mitram ikshobasparshagir taneihi. Then tejam abhannamayer bhaver. That in the shastram the word used is vikaram. Vikaram means these different manifestations of different material elements is nothing but vigaram of the sky. The sky's transformation has, that is what has happened. Then, and from then, the other things have come. You see, first the material elements have come. From material elements, different bodies have come, isn't it? What we call as this material body is nothing but a mixture of these material elements in different ratios or different forms. And some form has been given to it. So that's what we today call as so-and-so, such person. And it takes different forms like the tree, the birds, the insects, or 8.4 million different species. It is all taken from these five material elements. So their vikaram is all these different bodies. Their vikaram is all these different bodies. That's what's mentioned here. Meghyadir vayuneri daihim. That similarly, in the sky also, because of the different vikarams, that that we find these different kinds of things in the sky. Just like, for example, we find the clouds, sometimes we find the dust, sometimes it's under thunder, lightning, so many things in the sky it comes. But what we have to see there is also that exactly like the clouds and the thunder and the lightning has nothing to do with the space. When I say sky, it means the space. When it has nothing to do with the space, in the space, all that's happening. Similarly, the soul also, while it entered into different bodies, nothing is affecting the soul. Nothing is affecting the soul. Body is going through all the changes. Like we talked about the balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam, boyhood, youthhood, old age, disease. This is all for the body, nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. So this is one important lesson, he says, I learned from the sky. And in addition to that, he says here, swachya prakritasnigdhom madhuryastirthabhurnanam munipunatyavam mitram ikshobasparshavikshaneihi. That I am, after realizing all these things, I am always keeping myself in this consciousness and moving in the world in that way, carefully. Not allowing anything to disturb my state of mind, state of consciousness. This is how careful the Dattatreya Maharshi is while talking to, because Yadu Maharaj asked this question, how you are staying in this level, isn't it? Sometimes he said, we also get the realization, but I'm not able to stay in that platform all the time. This was Yadu's question. How come you are so established in this state of consciousness all the time? So at that time, the Dattatreya Maharshi said, I have learned these things from the earth, from what? From the earth, from the air, and from the sky. All these different things, what we have spoken so far. And those things have kept me going in spiritual platform, not allowing me to fall from there. Every time a thought comes to me, I started seeing them through the eyes of these, through the eyes of the Shastra. This is what is called Shastra Chakshusa. Shastra Chakshusa is nothing but seeing things through the Shastram. When you see through the Shastram, then it gives you a different dimension altogether. When you see through your mind, you get another dimension. What do we normally do? We see everything through the mind, isn't it? Mind, what does mind say to you? Mind say to us that, well, this is good for me, it suits me, so I'll accept it. And then I try to make it in the eyes of the Shastram to justify it, isn't it? Just like when a nice feast is offered and plenty of prasadam is given, I'll take as much prasadam as I want, then I will use the Shastram to justify I've eaten so much prasadam that I make so much spiritual advancement. This is the way the material mind works. Whereas when you see through the Shastra Chakshusa or through the Shastram, you will see on a different level. Same thing in every level in life, you can see people who do not study Srimad Bhagavatam or who do not follow Srimad Bhagavatam, they will use their mind to judge things. They can make spiritual life a first-class material life in that way. They will do that. And they will think that they are situated spiritually very much. If it is so, it would have been so easy, spiritual life, isn't it? Only when you start realizing and you start hearing from personalities like Dattatreya Maharshi, you will know how far away we are from spiritual life. At the moment, we are all thinking, we are all very close to Goloka Vrindavanam, isn't it? We are not very far from there. But only when you read Srimad Bhagavatam and when you read the realizations of Dattatreya Maharshi, you will understand that where we stand today, how our diplomatic mind and the hypocrisy in us has twisted. Spiritual life is not a difficult thing. The only thing in spiritual life is we have to be honest to ourselves. And we should be ready to accept what great authorities have spoken, particularly what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we don't question Krishna, accept it as Krishna has spoken, we won't have any problem in spiritual life. The moment we started using Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to justify our activities in this world, our spiritual life will go into trouble. It will not work. This is simple. Because these realizations won't come from an ordinary soul. It is not possible. It can only come either from Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or it has to come from someone who has realized Krishna. Nowhere else. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, while Krishna could have given many other personalities as examples, he picked Dattatreya Maharshi specifically for this reason, why through Dattatreya's realizations, Krishna saw that this can help someone who wants to advance in spiritual life. No amount of speculation, concoction will help here. You cannot do it here. Because any speculation, any concoction is only you are falling away from the spiritual platform. Our footsteps, we have to follow the Dattatreya Maharshi's realization. The Dattatreya Maharshi is teaching us from simple things what he has learned and how being situated on the spiritual platform. As I mentioned before, that bhakti can only come through jnanam and vairagyam. Jnanam vairagyam are the two children of bhakti. And in order that vairagyam develops in a person, it can only come through jnanam. Only through jnanam vairagyam will come. When there is no jnanam, there is no vairagyam either. There is no knowledge, no renunciation either. That we can see. In this world, renunciation is not something which will happen in a natural way. It won't happen. Alright, sometimes some renunciation comes, what we call as the smashana vairagyam. That means some close friend or relative dies. And then we go into the cemetery or for the funeral. And at the time of the funeral, we'll talk to each other. Oh, we don't know what, this is all the fate of everybody, isn't it? We'll talk one or two things like that. But the moment you leave the funeral is finished and you come home, you're back into the same boat again. That's called Smashana Vairagyam. There is one or two things like that. Then when a woman delivers a baby, at that time, because of the intense labor and the pain, she says, I will never have this again. I won't carry any more children anymore. I don't want any more children. But that only lasts for that much. As soon as the baby is out and then everything comes back to normal, the same vairagyam has gone from there. So that kind of vairagyam is different. We are talking about the vairagyam, what is necessary for spiritual life. Smashana vairagyam and prasuti vairagyam it is called. That while giving birth to a baby, that vairagyam what she feels, and the vairagyam one person feels while being during the funeral. Those vairagyam are not really helpful. The real vairagyam that comes from the knowledge what Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken, that his intense search for liberation, to mumukshutvam was so strong in him. Otherwise, how could that happen? that intense desire to free himself from the modes of nature and from the existence of the material condition. He wants to free himself and goes back to his true identity. Unless that comes, that vairagyam won't come to him. So this is another important lesson here. So while talking about that, he's saying here, Swachha prakritida snigdho madhurya stirtha bhurnrnam muni punatyabadha punatyavam mitram ichobas prashakirtanehim. Swacham prakritida snigdho. Qualities of water, what are they? Swacham prakritida snigdham. By nature itself, the water is very pure. The water is very pure. And I learned from water, he says, I learned from water. What did I learn? I learned from water that I should be sweet like water. I should be sweet like water. People often think that sweetness is not the quality of water, they say. Many people say like that, isn't it? Sweetness is not the quality of water. But strictly speaking, you will only experience the sweetness of the water when you are very thirsty and when you drink clean water, then you will experience something that is the sweetness of the water. That is the sweetness what he is talking about. That is the sweetness we are talking about. The sweetness of the water is such that you can only experience the sweetness only when you are in a position to appreciate it. So just like if you take the sugar cane, in sugar cane there is sugar, but it is the juice inside that is the sweetness. In the water that is present inside, that is giving the sweetness of the water. So similarly, he says here, the Tathraya Maharshi is saying here, from water I have learned one important lesson, that I should be sweet like the water. He says here, Swachha prakritida snigdho madhurya tirtha bhurnranam. That when I drink water, I always keep this in my mind. He says, what is that? That this sweetness I should never lose. The sweetness of the water I should never lose. In other words, whomever comes into contact with me should experience this sweetness. Should experience this sweetness in me. A yogi or a muni should always think that by associating with him, he is able to deliver others with this sweetness. With this sweetness. That because water has this quality. Water has this quality, it can purify anything. Just like when you do deity worship, how do you purify? You take some water and sprinkle on something, isn't it? Like you take from the achaman pot, you take water and pour on the flower, pour on the hanky, pour on the peacock fan. Everywhere you are pouring the water. Why do we pour the water? Because water has got the purificatory power, purificatory quality. So because of that, we pour water and purify. The Tathraya Maharshi is saying here, just like water has got the capacity to purify everything in this world, my presence should purify anyone who comes into contact with me. My presence should purify. My presence should purify anyone who comes into contact with me. This is the lesson he has learned from the water. In the Bhagavadam, if you look into the first canto, when Vidura came back from the... When Vidura came back after the pilgrimage, there was a conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Vidura. He said that, Tirthi kurvandi tirthani, that a devotee or a great soul like Vidura, wherever he has gone, actually he has... Actually, he has purified everything. That is what his presence is done. The great holy rivers, they get purified because great personalities have purified that river. Like Ganga River, even while talking about Ganga River, it purifies a person. That's the potency of Ganga River. Talking about Ganga's appearance in this world, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken about that. Those things can purify. So, similarly, here it says here, that Ichabasparsha Kirtanehi, that in Icham, Ichabasparsha Kirtanehi, by Icham means to see, Sparsham means to touch, and Kirtanai, by glorifying. So, he's saying here, the Tatra Maharshi is saying here, my spiritual consciousness should be in such a level that anyone who talks about me should get purified. Imagine that understanding. Ichabha sparsha kirtanehi. Anyone who sees me should get purified by my spiritual nature, by spiritual activities. In other words, a realized soul can have this impact on someone who is even a materialistic person. So that's what he said here. Ichabha sparsha kirtanehi. From water I have learned this, that my spiritual realization, my spiritual quality should be such that anyone who comes into contact with me, like water, should purify those people. Should purify these people. Not that who comes into contact with me start hating me after seeing me, or wants to hit me the next moment. That is not spiritual. That is very materialistic. A spiritual personality, when you meet, properly, spiritually advanced soul, like Dattatreya Maharshi, what will happen is, Ichabha sparsha kirtanehi, his vision, he will get purified. By touching him, he gets purified. By glorifying him, talking about him, he will get purified. So powerful are the jnanis, or these great devotees. So powerful they are. And they are not very many. They are very, very rare in this world. Even if one does not get an opportunity to associate with such personalities, at least if he reads a Srimad Bhagavatam, this will have an impact on that person. That is why it is spoken in the Bhagavatam like that. Swachha prakritya snigdho madhurya stirtha bhurnanam munivunatyabham mitram ichobha sparsha kirtanehi. So with this, we are now almost finished four material elements, which are earth, water, air and sky. There is one thing what is left is the fire, which we will discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.